expensive. It's getting late. You need to go. Okay. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Borough of Roosevelt Council meeting for June 20th, 2022 at 7:03 p.m. Due to the coronavirus and the need for social distancing, this meeting will also be held remotely and available to the public in a live feed. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 12, 2022, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Robert Atwood?
Here.
Mr. Lou Ethicor is absent. Mr. Michael Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Constance Hairstrom?
Here.
Mr. Stephen Mocker?
Here.
Mr. Joseph Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Peggy Malkin?
Here. Okay, well, I have quite a few announcements, but I will save them until the end. Until the end of the meeting under new business or old business. So I think we'll go right to public comment on agenda items only. We're going to open the floor for public comment at 7:04 p.m. Is there anyone from the public? Now this is agenda items only. Would anyone like to speak? Okay. Being none, I will close the public portion at 7:04 p.m.
Five.
We just keep gaining another minute every meeting. Soon we'll be 2 hours beyond. My correspondence, we have a letter from Roberts Engineering dated June 3rd, 2022 regarding the NJDOT Transportation Alternative Set-Aside Program.
And we do also have that under new business.
Right, that's what I was just about to say. So we can discuss that later under new business. Now come to approval of meetings. We have the regular meeting minutes of May 16th, 2022. Do I have a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicor? Oh, sorry. He's not on yet. Absent. Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. Minutes are adopted for May 16th. Now we have the closed meeting minutes of February 7th, 2022. Do I have a motion?
I'll move that.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. The minutes from February 7th are adopted, 2022. And finally, we have the closed meeting minutes from March 7th, 2022. And do I have a motion?
I'll move those.
Second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right, and the minutes of March 7th are adopted, 2022. We come to our ordinances. We have the first reading for Ordinance 22-06, an ordinance replacing Chapter 14, Flood Damage Prevention. The Borough's revised general ordinances to adopt flood hazard maps and to create the position of floodplain administrator and to provide for severability and effective date. So
I have a question about that. Where did this come from? Did this come from one of the other boards, or is this required?
State. This is required. This is from state.
And it was sent out to the council. Carmela Roberts put it together?
Yeah, I know. I tried to read it, but I fell asleep about one quarter of the way through it. So
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it.
I can give you a quick summary if you'd like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, long story short, there's National Flood Insurance Program, and then there's optional levels above that depending on the risk of your community, like community rating system. And it basically makes available to your residents certain types of flood insurance. So Roosevelt is not a very flood-prone area, at least in terms of hazard areas, although you do have a lot of water. You know, in compare, for example, Bradley Beach, right by the ocean, if there's a hurricane. And so the lakes around there are big, are a big flood zone. So there's people there that need flood insurance. And so to remain certified, those regulations that benefit you get from the federal government is essentially administered at the local level through our construction office, or your construction regulation through the state offices, and through building properly. So that the National Flood Insurance Program obviously doesn't come inspect everybody's house. They know where you live. They know what the rules are. And if we don't maintain those rules, then our community gets dropped from the flood insurance program. So this is the most recent amendment to the FEMA regulations, given climate change, all the more severe storms we're experiencing. It mostly affects coastal areas. You guys are a riverine area, so it's not really as important. And I'm actually not aware of any flood insurance necessary for residents of Roosevelt. However, it's important because we don't know where the flood maps will be revised 50 years from now to make sure that we were enrolled all along. So you guys have been enrolled since 1981, and this updates the regulations to keep you enrolled in the program and current.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
I just want to note that Lou Ethicor
has joined the meeting
at 7:10.
Hello, Lou.
Does anyone have any other questions for Greg?
And it's the mayor's fault.
Guilty as charged.
You're in the Borough Hall time zone too? I don't get it, Lou.
Well, that's, you know, it's one of those things. I'll take that time zone as an excuse. That's fine.
Okay.
Lou and I were having a very professional discussion on the phone, and then I had to leave the house to come here. And as we were hanging up, he said to me, "I just want to know, who did you say goodbye, honey, to?" I said, "My dog." Okay. Does anyone have any other questions, or the Greg might be able to answer?
No.
No? Okay. So the public hearing on this ordinance will be
held. First, we have to do a motion to adopt or table on first reading.
That would help. Do I have a motion to adopt ordinance 22-06?
I'll make that motion at first reading.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herbstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Ordinance 22-06 has been approved at first reading. The public hearing will be held on July 5th, 2022 at 7 p.m. The Borough of Roosevelt, 33 North Rochdale, Roosevelt, New Jersey.
Via Zoom.
Pardon me?
Via Zoom.
Via Zoom. Now we come to the consent agenda resolutions. We have resolution 22-65, payment of bills for June 6th, 2022.
So moved.
Well, wait, I'm going to read them all. Lou, and then if someone wants to remove one or another, then we'll vote on the entire consent agenda. So we have resolution.
Oh, you're doing the consent agenda. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm just reading. I'm reading them.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
Resolution 22-66, a resolution authorizing the borough engineer to make a grant application to the New Jersey Department of Transportation for improvements to North Valley Road between Homestead Lane at approximately 500 feet south of Farm Lane. Resolution 22-67, a resolution authorizing the award of a non-fair and open contract for professional cemetery management services to Sutphin Memorial Incorporated, 53 Somerset Street, Hopewell, New Jersey, 08525. And I'd just like to add in here that Doug Sutphin, whose business this is and who's worked for Roosevelt for many years, has graciously agreed not to raise his rates for the following, for this year.
Or, you know, no, we thank you.
It's, I mean, it's really grateful because, you know, we all know that everything is going up, you know, everything's being raised and Doug is not raising his fees.
One of the things you do not want is a dispute to arise when somebody passes away as to where they're going to be buried or even if they're going to be buried in the cemetery. And I know we've had experiences like that in the past, right, Lou?
What?
Oh, we've had doomed and banged into.
Oh, we've had lots of, yeah, we've had problems.
It's important to know where the bodies are.
That's right.
And Doug does. He's done an excellent job organizing the cemetery.
And this is a 3-year contract. So for 3 years, you won't have a price increase.
Resolution 22-68, authorizing a shared service agreement with Millstone Township Board of Education for electric, HVAC, and mechanic services.
I'll make a motion to go.
Wait. Hold on. Resolution 22-69, payment of bills for 2022. Well, we didn't have a meeting on the 6th, so that's why we have the bill list from June 6th as well as today.
Okay.
And then finally, resolution 22-70, authorizing temporary emergency appropriations number 4.
I'll move on all of those. All of the agenda resolutions.
I'll second.
Any discussion or anything?
Yeah, we're spending a heck of a lot of money.
We run a town. Okay, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Asifar?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
All right.
Did Joe say yes?
It was soft, but he's
talking. I said yes. That's correct.
Okay. Consent agenda has been adopted. Reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Atwood, Environmental Health and Safety.
Nothing at the moment.
Councilmember Esikoff, Administration.
Yes, ma'am. We're still chugging along. Everything is fine.
Lou, you have a ponytail again?
What?
That's a heck of a ponytail. As much hair as I have. Councilmember Hamilton, Finance.
We're still spending money, as you can see, by that long tally that we just had. We've scheduled a Finance Committee meeting for this Thursday at 10:30 a.m. This is a live meeting at Borough Hall. The Chief Financial Officer will be there. And the purpose of that meeting is to work on the FY 2022 municipal budget. And that's the only thing that's really going to be on that agenda. And the reason that we wanted this to be an advertised open meeting is that we wanted to allow council members to come who may not be on the council finance committee but might be interested in learning about finances and discussing with the CFO all of the ins and outs of how to work on and establish a good municipal budget, including utility budget. And so it might be a great experience if any of the newer council members or anybody who is interested from the public and would like to attend essentially a workshop with the CFO to work on the budget. Now you have a chance to do that. So any council member, including the entire council, could come and the mayor can come and we don't have to worry about a quorum. So
actually, Mike, can I stop you right there? I'm sorry, but it came too late. It came today to Kathleen today. And as you know, she doesn't arrive here until about 5, and it's too late to advertise it.
In the newspapers.
In the newspapers.
Now, you have to give them 48 hours notice.
Oh, but the meeting's
to be
Thursday.
Able to post, put it in the paper. So I can't get that in the paper and probably till Friday. So it will be after the date.
We could always advertise the next meeting, with the chief financial officer, but I would like to see any members of the public who would like to see certain things funded. I'd like to get input from them to the committee, and as well as individual council members. So I would like to still do that, maybe the next finance meeting. We're going to need several to work on the budget. And, I think it's an interesting process. I think everybody should be involved, and it's the taxpayers' money. So I think taxpayers should be involved as well.
You're saying next week, Mike?
Yeah. Well, no, the meeting's going to be, we're still going to have, a finance committee budget, meeting this Thursday, but we couldn't get the ad in time for it. So the next time, which will probably be a week or two later, we'll have a second finance committee meeting that, and hopefully we can get that advertised, and that'll be open to all council members and the public. As long as we stick to the agenda, I think we should be fine. Yeah, we did have emergency appropriations number 4 that was part of that consent agenda, and that's not uncommon this time of the year. And it seems that the budget process is being moved back further and further as we go along. Last year, we didn't really introduce the borough budget, I think, until July or August. It was late last year. So this has been pushed on down the line a little bit, but still there's plenty of time to work on the budget. I just don't want people to think that that we've been delaying. Our CFO is pretty busy. He has other towns and other things going on. So, we're actually right on schedule as far as the way we've been doing it these days, which is having it later and later in the year. And that's why we needed those temporary budgets to get us through. That's about it. So, hopefully the second, finance committee meeting, we have the public. There are any council members, and we can have a full discussion of things.
All right. If you can get that to me as soon as, you know, maybe you'll make the date Thursday, and then I can.
As soon as we hear from George Lang, it's really kind of up to him, and also when Borough Hall is available. It's kind of complex scheduling. We need to get George on a certain date, and sometimes we don't know that until like a week before. But I'll try to get it to you earlier then.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. End of report.
Thank you. Councilmember Hurstrom, Community Development Code Enforcement?
Nothing to report.
Okay. Councilmember Mocker, Public Works?
Nothing much. I guess there's been a few things. The Public Works had to do a little cleanup up at the cemetery, I guess, today.
Yeah.
Completed the painting of the speed bumps on Pine Drive. And the next things on the schedule are they have to put a cover on well 4 and a roof over the fuel tank at the for the generator at the water plant. And that's about it.
Good. No problems.
I have a quick question for you, Steve. Is it possible that you and the committee could look into remediation of the path to the school from, you know, the path that the kids take? I guess it's from Tamara or Pine.
Bike path.
To the school. It's subject to all kinds of flooding. There were chips put down by the Environmental Commission. But,
okay, but wait, Mike, I interrupted and I was wrong. I thought you were referring to the bike path. So I just want to make it clear. You mean the trail that goes from Pine to the back of the school?
Yeah, that's correct. The one that all the kids take when they're walking generally. We did put wood chips down there, but it's, you know, they just sink right down into the muck and the mire too. So there needs to be a better, kind of way to address that flooding that's there and make it so that path is viable.
More term.
Yeah, so maybe
more permanent.
Maybe Public Works can kind of take a look at it, or Steve, if you have some some maps of that area. Maybe you can advise us on that too.
Yeah, I don't know if there, I've walked it many times and I don't know if there's much we can do as far as grading goes, but we have had some emails from some people that were pushing different products for, paths like that. Are you interested in that kind of a thing or?
It depends. It's just that everything it seems that we try, which are, you know, very convenient solutions, putting wood chips down or filling it, it just continues to flood and get soggy. So yeah, I guess a whole agenda, a whole menu of options would be.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, there's no harm in looking into it. Then we could see the cost or what's involved.
Yeah, we'll take a look at some of the products that are available.
Thank you. Okay, and Councilmember Trammell, Utilities.
How you doing there? Things are moving right along with all the utilities. Looks like for the year 2021, we have excess funds again, so things are working well, and we seem to be throwing funds back off into the general fund for the town. I'll have more information and numbers on that for the finance meeting, hopefully. Okay, but things are moving right along. That's it for me.
Good. Thank you. Okay, reports of borough officials. Michael?
Hi.
Name and address.
Okay, Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road. Okay.
You haven't moved.
Speaking, sorry?
You haven't moved.
No, I haven't moved. I moved once, but that was 30 years ago. Any event, I was pleased to hear that the Public Works Committee has addressed the issue of the problem of the maintenance of Benjamin Brown's grave at the cemetery. Because I went up there with a group a few days ago, and it was really ridiculous because everything around it was well maintained, but it's like that plot was just left as totally overgrown, and you know, the trees, some small trees growing up there, poison ivy in there. It was totally
amazing. Because in a year and a half, it deteriorated that much because it was pristine for the event.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but you know, that stuff can grow up pretty quickly. So, yeah. You know, it has to be maintained. You know, maybe the barrier should be taken, should be loosened or something so that they can get in there and maintain it easily. Cause probably, you know, if you have the barriers, you can't get in there with equipment and maintain it. So maybe, cause I noticed that the barred, area, which is enclosed also is well maintained. So.
We're speaking to Kyle Landscaping about it.
Yeah, okay, good. So I was just pleased to hear that that's been taken care of because that really was a problem. Okay, thank you.
Anything else, Mike? All right. Come to unfinished business. Is there anyone who has anything they'd like to discuss under old business?
Mayor, I'd just like to give a brief Environmental Commission report. Is that on the agenda?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. Yeah.
We did have an Environmental Commission meeting, I guess, June 15th. And the Environmental Commission is going to have a compost workshop at the 4th of July celebration. There'll be a table there that'll be set up. Also, there's a ribbon cutting ceremony at 1 o'clock. Is that for that, Michael?
That's
for that, right?
Right.
Part of Sustainable New Jersey.
Yeah. And there's also going to be some fun games, a game of chance, a spinning wheel game with some small prizes for children. A stormwater management display will be set up. So there'll be some interesting environmental, kind of activities for people to do. So it should be fun. And again, the 4th of July celebration is surprisingly enough on the 4th of July. And it's not always that way, but it is this year. Isn't it?
Yeah, 4th of July. Is on the 4th of July.
It's unusual to actually have the 4th of July.
It's always on the 4th.
Just want to make sure. It sounds so stupid to think it would be other than that, but
it doesn't move around. 4th of July is not a moving holiday.
Yeah.
But it's on a Monday. It's on the Monday after.
One of the items that,
if it rains.
Yeah. One of the items that came up was the need of a council rep to do core training. Is that for forest management?
Yes.
Certifications? Yes. I know Bob wanted to do it, but he's busy and all, but I think we really could use somebody, a volunteer. I don't know if does it have to be from the council, Michael, or can it be?
It has to be one council member. That's their requirement.
So
is there another time that the course can be taken? I tried to sign up for it in February, but there was some problem with my payment. They didn't get it, and it didn't work out in time for me. I'd still be willing to take the course if it's offered again.
I think it's going to be offered maybe in October.
Okay.
So,
I'll try to be more timely on my getting my information in.
Well, that would be great because we really could use that in terms of our credits and that kind of thing. Stream monitoring is ongoing. Mary and Jane and Corky and a whole host of volunteers continue to do a great job with that. And I know Mary's had quality assurance training on that. And, it's hard to count all those little critters, but, it's a good thing to do to ensure the health of the ecosystem and to have a database on that. Let me see if there's anything else here. There were some concerns expressed by Environmental Commission members. If we decide that we want to, continue to consider the idea of getting a state license to allow cannabis cultivation on the farms, on our existing farms. It's important to realize that two of the farms are preserved farmland. There are drainage issues that may arise as a result of putting a lot of structures on the farmland and increasing the impervious surface. And there's other issues that are related to this kind of thing. So Environmental Commission members have asked that there should be some sort of advisory committee. If one's formed, they would like to be on it or at least have some representation on it. And I think it would be really important to have the Environmental Commission's input on any kind of proposals or any consideration of that matter. So they just openly expressed during my council report about that. And I just wanted to make sure that the mayor and council knew that the Environmental Commission would love to be involved and give their input regarding this issue. End of Environmental Commission report.
Greg, is that standard protocol in most towns? Does the Environmental Commission weigh in if cannabis cultivation is considered?
Depends. I mean, some places have, some places hasn't. Really, it's preference of the governing body. Okay. I remember that Fairhaven and Bradley, they definitely weighed in, and other Bread Bank, not so much. So it just depends on the town.
Okay. And I don't think we have any other borough officials online now.
Well, I'm on.
Would you like to talk?
Sure. I'd like the record to reflect that I would kill for Loose Ponytail.
That you want for Loose Ponytail.
Lou, so, can you get that ponytail off?
I think at this point it's thicker than my hair.
Are beautiful.
Are you talking about me?
Yes, your ponytail. Greg would kill for it.
I'll sell it to you. I have another one. I have another one in my drawer. I cut my hair a while back, and my barber took a rubber band and made one of these. I'll show you.
Lou, you're making me more jealous by the minute.
That's why I was surprised.
He made one of these things for me.
Awesome.
But Greg, you'd have to be gray then.
I'll take anything at this point, Mike.
Greg, are you going to paste it up here?
on top like a samurai.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
If you take a picture of it, I'll give it to you.
Okay, we come to new business. So the first item is the liquor license fees. So there is renewed interest in purchasing the liquor license from our town. There are a few people, or at least I know of two people interested in leasing the deli, and they would like to purchase, each one would like to purchase the liquor license. We have not revisited this in quite a long time. And I think we're all aware that demographics have changed, and also like physically where there's much more traffic in Roosevelt. There may be much more traffic to come once. I mean, I'm really hoping that while we'll be able to convince GPS to not send people through Roosevelt to get to Great Adventure and Adventure Crossing, I would prefer to see them get off the turnpike onto 195 and go directly there. But as it stands now, I think you all know that people are directed to get off at exit 8 and follow 571. So I know I had asked the county to conduct a traffic study, which they did a few weeks ago, but I haven't gotten results yet. I haven't heard from them yet. But we do have increased traffic, and we do have more people living in town. We've had more families move in. So I thought it was time that we look at the liquor license and see, since it may be, there may be application, well, there may be, may go out to bid sooner rather than later. So I thought we should look at the fee and see if we want to adjust that in any way.
How did that information come in about people interested in the liquor license? Was that correspondence or was that?
No, meetings I had with Mr. Gade, who owns the deli.
Okay. Are you going to report on those meetings to the council?
There's really nothing to report. He just told me he has prospective people who are interested in leasing and that they would like to purchase the liquor license, which of course has to go out to bid. They can't just say, I'll buy it. You know, it has to go out to bid, but that's it. There was really nothing more, no more detail than that.
They can't take it out of town. They have to use it here. I suppose.
Yeah. But
what are current cost for the liquor license now?
You know,
I'm sorry. What was that cost?
What is the liquor license cost as per?
I think the last ordinance is.
Yeah. Well, you guys set your price at what you want to. It was $50,000 that he originally paid, but I think last time it went out to public bid, it might have been $125 or $150.
But it's up to us.
It was $150. So I have, Kathleen gave me the files.
That's what I thought. Right. It was one.
So last time I went out to bid was May 11th, 2017.
Right.
And, I'm sorry, May 8th, 2017. And it was $150,000.
Yeah. That's
did anybody buy it?
No, we didn't get any.
No. Yeah. But now it seems, of course, Mr. Gade.
A lot of liquor for that.
So, well, now it seems, according to Mr. Gade, that there are some prospective customers, whatever word you want to use,
proprietors.
Thank you. Proprietors.
They want to turn
I don't know. Are they proprietors?
I have a question.
He owns the deli, but it's the people who want to lease the deli from him who want the liquor license.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
That's what I was just about to ask.
Is the proprietor always an owner?
They're not going to turn it into a liquor store.
No, it is
a retail. That's what he had last time.
But no, what Mr. Gade said was that they're both interested in having a deli.
That's my point. Liquor license, liquor with the deli is one.
Yeah, just like it was.
And all liquor stores, and different story altogether.
From my understanding, it's not. It will be a deli or some kind of food purchasing store, and then along with the liquor, you know, just like Ross's and Saul and Bebby, you know, just food and liquor.
But just to let you know, what he had prior was a retail distribution center.
This is a plenary retail distribution license. So this could be used to open a liquor store.
To open a liquor store, just so you all know.
Oh, really?
It could be.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's always been the case.
Yeah. Yeah, not consumption, just retail.
So Peggy,
I didn't, get these last week. I've had these for like a couple of years. Because there's been bites before. You think we're, this time we're going to put it out there?
Peggy, are you asking us to set a low, you know, a limit? Is that what?
Well, I'm asking, what this 150 is the starting bid, correct, Greg? It could be. We can make it 120, 100, or we could make it 200, depending on whatever we think we can get.
But we want to make it, so that reasonable in terms
reasonable.
Of, we want somebody to.
Well, make it attractive for somebody.
Yeah, attractive. Right. To open the store, right?
Right. But so that's why I said there's a lot of things to consider. We do have increased traffic. I think we're going to have a great deal of exponentially increased traffic. And
I think 150 is reasonable.
Also, you know, right now, the bulk of our traffic is in the summer. But once Adventure Crossing fully opens, that's 12 months a year. So,
Is this something that the Community Development Committee should look at?
No, it's for the council to decide how we did it in 2017. We did it once before that, how we feel, you know, whether we, do we think 150,000 is a good number?
I think it is.
Lower, higher?
If not, it's right now you're saying there might be two different people that might want to open?
That's the, I can't attest to that, because that's what I was told.
So if either one thinks 150 is too high, then what's our option?
It's completely within our control. So our option is to lower, raise it, or keep 150.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. If the Gottis own the deli, they're the only ones that can own the license for the deli, or can they rent the deli and someone else would own the license?
Mm-hmm.
Greg,
I'll give you a quick primer on liquor licenses. So no one owns a liquor license. A liquor license is a right, like a privilege, like a driver's license. So the state of New Jersey gives there's a certain number of licenses, and they give a certain number of people the privilege of distributing or serving liquor in the state of New Jersey, subject to numerous exceptions. However, in terms of who the proprietor must be a qualified, so like when we're auctioning it, it's subject to them being qualified, right? So if they're a convicted felon, they're probably not eligible to be the privilege of having the license. So what we get, we're talking about our fee. But this person also would need to be approved by the State Alcohol Beverage Commission, and they have to pass certain tests. Now, there's different ways to hold a liquor license. You can hold a liquor license with no premises, in which case you can't sell any liquor or serve any liquor. However, you have it as a right or as a privilege that you hold in your pocket. It's called a pocket license. Once you tell the state of New Jersey that you would like to make that an active license, you basically tell Kathleen, the borough clerk, on the other side of the electronic system posse is the state. The proprietor must provide a sketch plan of the state, and it's basically a 12-page application that puts down everything from every person that has a interest in the business that owns the license to everything else. But that person just has to show control of the premises, getting down to your question. So they can be a lessee, tenant, they can be the owner, they can be an operator under an operating agreement if someone else has a lease and it's being sublet. But the functional control is they have to show documentation that they control that premises. And that a lot of other things with respect to that premises, like security and you're serving a lot of different things, including a sketch plan. But that's the short answer. Right. If you want the longer one, Kathleen has a book in her office, and we can go through it together.
Okay, I'm good for the short answer, but does that mean that how many places in Roosevelt can that liquor license operate?
Well,
that's a complicated question.
In a commercial zone,
well, you'd have to read to see what it is labeled for that zone.
So that's a zoning question. That's not necessarily. I mean, it's an alcoholic beverage question as well. Like ABC knows, you know, looks what's in the area in terms of approving liquor establishments. However, mm-hmm. on a local level, that's really determined by the zoning. You have pretty much I have the zoning map hanging in my office, actually, in the hallway. But long story short, I mean, it's just the business district, where you think it would go, by the post office, on the main road in Rochdale, and really nowhere else.
Okay. But this might be possible for gas stations, don't you think, Greg?
I don't know. I'll have to look.
That's part of that district.
Yeah.
Leave it to, forgive me, I don't know the exact name of the district in your town, but it's like it's BD, like a business district.
Yeah, business district.
Okay, so pretty much.
If you want to take some time and think about it, we can discuss it at the next meeting. If you think 150 is reasonable, correct, or you want to raise it or lower it.
Do we know what other towns around us?
Well, you know, we're not really comparable to a lot of other towns.
No, I know.
It varies wildly. Yeah. So, like, it could be well over $1 million in a place like Belmar.
What about Belmar?
Or, you know, it could be, you know, in Allentown, I know they go for like 80 or 120.
Okay. And what about Belmar? You know?
I can tell you this. They very rarely go for less than 50. Almost nowhere that I've ever heard of. And, you know, if you get people that really want to open, I mean, it's a limited market, right? I just told you there's a limited number of licenses. So if you get the right bidder, the sky's the limit, you know, how much people, you know, you can't get the liquor from the distributors. There's only like 3 liquor distributors. That's your ticket pretty much to the market. So, I mean,
Yeah.
100. I mean, you can always lower it, so there's no danger, really.
Yeah. So I agree.
150 is reasonable.
Yeah, I think 150 is a good starting point.
I think so. I think that's fair.
And just remember, it goes out to bid.
Right.
So
someone could come in. Yeah, there could be a bidding war.
Well, that's a different story.
Right. Or no one could bid. You know, anything's possible.
Right.
But I just wanted to put it out there because it may come to fruition soon where the deli really does open. And
if you know, if we're anxious to have the deli function, if we think it's an advantage for the town, and it probably is, I would say that we started 150, and if somebody balks, let him make a counter offer. If it comes down to 125, and we're willing to get the deli up and running. And that's the factor. We can decide that very easily, whether we want to or not. We're not married to this.
Did you get the feeling when you met with Mr. Gotti that he's interested in moving this along and actually having the store open?
Yes. From what I can glean from our meetings is that he has 2 prospective tenants who are quite interested in opening the deli and running the deli and buying, or, you know, he kept saying buying. I know it's go out to bid, but, you know, obtaining the liquor license. And he made it seem as if I'll tell you this. So it was a little surprising to me. So even though it was always a deli and it was built to be a deli, it actually has a conditional use variance. So because it's been abandoned for more than 10 years, 10 or 12, I forget which, but because of that, it has to go back to the drawing board. Mr. Gade has to present engineering plans and go before the planning board to receive another variance to open the deli, which really surprised me because I assumed since it was always a deli right from the very beginning, it was built to be a deli, I assumed he could just put tenants in and, you know, open it again, but that's not true. And so he has to go back to the drawing board with engineering plans and site plans and all kinds of plans, to the planning board. And he's aware of that. And I think he's on board because apparently he has 2 different people, as I said, who are interested in.
And he would need to get a C variance, for that. And the town could provide input that it would be beneficial use for the.
Well, it would go before the planning board. I should not speak out of turn, but I can't imagine that it would receive any pushback from the planning board. Everybody wants the deli to open. So, but Mr. Gotti knows that, you know, has to get his engineer and everyone on board, go before the planning board. But as he had told me, both prospective tenants or lessees are, you know, very interested in obtaining the liquor license. So, you know, we don't have to make a decision tonight or vote tonight. We can wait till the next meeting.
One quick last question. Whatever the price is for the liquor license, that's a one-time go-round. Is there any yearly fee for the license for the town?
Well, yes.
Yes.
A yearly fee.
You'll have to update that. In their code, it's currently $2,500, but I believe it's more than that now, is it not, Kathleen? No,
that's the max.
Oh, $2,500 is still the max?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I haven't changed those.
So there's an annual fee after that initial purchase of $2,500.
Okay, that's for the municipality, not for the state.
They have to file a $200 application fee every year, make sure they have tax clearance, and pay the municipal fee. And it gets renewed.
Okay, so that application is through Roosevelt. Roosevelt would handle that application or the state?
Both. So there's a system called POSSE, P-O-S-S-E. So Kathleen does her end through her computer on her side, her login, and then the state does the applicant goes in, they have a login, and then they do this, they submit their state tax clearances and stuff on the other side.
Okay.
The $150,000 you're talking about is a one-time fee.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
That's important.
And 25 a year.
It's not a yearly fee. It's a one-time fee with a. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. And then it's a public bid, so there's procedures. So it's not just like Lou, you said, oh, well, if we don't want that fee, we'll lower it. No, you're going to have to then back out and advertise.
You would have to reject all bids and then re-advertise.
Reject it and then go forward again with a new dollar amount.
I didn't know that. Thank you.
Yes.
And I also believe
That makes it more difficult for us.
Okay. That the town can have one consumption license and one distribution license. So this would be a distribution license, correct? Not a consumption license?
Correct.
Okay. All righty. That's it for me.
And the second item is the 2000.
I don't believe it.
No. The second item is the 2023 Transportation Set-Aside Program Project Scope, curb and sidewalk improvements at Washdale Avenue. Open this up for discussion.
They all received that.
Yeah, in your packets.
You know, there was something in that grant. One of the provisions, one of the things that you could apply for under historic, I thought we might qualify under that as far as renovations to the amphitheater. But what they're looking for apparently with this is non-traditional projects. That would seem to be a kind of a non-traditional project as well, the amphitheater.
How many towns have amphitheaters with a big bust of FDR?
Right, and it, you know, that would be a very non-traditional use. I mean, they had things like existing railroad facilities and renovating them and a lot of other untraditional things, but we already have applied for a grant, and we already have a lot of the specs that Carmella and her team laid out for renovating of the amphitheater.
Well, that was a beautiful packet that she put together.
I'm wondering if she would consider that and see how that might fit into this grant proposal.
Was that the grant that we didn't get?
And everyone was shocked, Lou.
That was the grant that we did not get.
It was meant, the purpose of it was for small towns. But it actually was given to much larger cities.
I understand. Yeah, this is a totally different.
But why grant. are we, why are we going forward again? Are we going forward again?
It's a whole different grant.
It's a whole different grant. But this might fit or at least, and a lot of the legwork has already been done on it. So right. I'm wondering if we could talk to Carmela and ask her to consider that. She may have reasons for, well, I think we do need sidewalks on the west side of Rochdale. There's nothing there between Pine Drive and Tamara. I mean, and that's a safety issue. We've had public input regarding safety and pedestrian safety issues. And also it included, I think, traffic calming, possibly a flashing beacons. And we were talking about that too, before, I think, in previous council meetings. But I think maybe we ought to ask Carmela about before we apply. I think it's not due until November, the application. So we have a little bit of time, but ask her if they might be able to consider the amphitheater project.
I had mentioned that, but not in detail, so I can definitely speak to her about that.
Yeah, it depends on how it fits. Grants are like shoes, you know, they have it designed a certain way, and your grant application has to fit in there comfortably. Right,
mold it to the specifications.
Yeah, so she would know better about that.
I thought we were shoo-in the last time. We all did. Everyone did. We were very surprised. But then when we saw who received the grants, we realized, oh, they just went to the big cities.
I like the pun of shoo-in. Yeah.
So you're, it wouldn't be in conjunction with the curb and sidewalk improvements. You're saying scratch that and do, if she could.
Well, ask her what she thinks of it. She may have reasons because that... the sidewalk improvements and all along Rochdale fit the grant. We think we have a better chance of getting that than something a little odd. But as I read the specs and the purpose of it, it's for non-traditional projects. And I think, and historic was one of the things that they would consider. And I think this would be a perfect non-traditional project, you know, historic town, both on the national places and a place that has a lot of historic significance and would be used a lot by the public and the school children and as a park. So just ask. I don't know what her thinking was on that. I'd like to know more about that.
Okay. Or maybe I'll even ask if she wants to come to the July 5th meeting. We can ask her questions there.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple other things for new business. I'm going to ask for volunteers for the July 4th picnic. We're trying to make this picnic restored to its old glory. We haven't had one since 2019. And 19 and the few years before that, it was slowly coming back to what it had been, more and more people. But we do have so many new families in town. So we sent out, we're going to be sending out one flyer. We're going to be sending out more flyers, stressing to people that it's free, that they're welcome to bring their pets and their families and friends.
Who's on the 4th of July committee? Or is there one? Or
Eric and myself. That's the committee, Eric and me. So we have entertainment on board. We have a Tai Chi demonstration. We have the ribbon cutting ceremony. It should really be nice. The magician is coming. People seem to like him a lot. And so, but we do need volunteers for grilling. I spoke to Kenny Horowitz from H&H Gas. They're willing to, deliver us grills again, donate grills for us. And so, but we do need volunteers. We need volunteers to help set up, to help dismantle, to grill. And just general, anything needs to be done. So I'm asking council members if it's possible to come that day and help out, or if you could put the word out that we need volunteers. It would be helpful. Because right now we have Eric and one son of his and a couple of his son's friends, but we could use some adults. I mean, his sons are older at this point, but we could use some volunteers. So if somebody from the council is willing to come on the 4th and volunteer, or if you know anyone that might be willing. Okay. And because it's actually, I hate to say this because it makes the summer seem like it's just disappearing. It didn't even, doesn't even start until tomorrow, but July 4th is really only a couple of weeks away. And the other thing I wanted to put out there is, you know, every summer we try for the last few years to eliminate one council meeting just to give all of us a break if we all work hard. And so that seems that this year, the only possible meeting that we can dispense of is the first Monday in August. We need to be here for the second Monday. We need to be here for both July meetings. But how does everyone feel if, because, you know, I checked it out with Anna and George Lang and Kathleen. So we can do without an August. What's the date of August 1st? The first Monday?
August 1st.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So we can eliminate an August 1st meeting if we're in favor of it. So how does everyone feel?
I don't hear any objections.
I was hoping for the last Monday in August, kind of extends, you know, get a nice little chunk at the end of the summer, especially with Labor Day. But we do need to be here for this 1st, 8th, I guess the 15th. But we can eliminate August 1st. So do I hear any eyes?
There weren't any real things that we had to.
No, we checked it thoroughly with everyone. So.
Okay.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so we'll make sure to advertise that there will not be an August 1st meeting.
Canceled. So if you're going to do that correctly, then take a first and a second and then all in favor.
Oh, okay. So do I have a motion to cancel the August 1st meeting?
You do.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Oh, yeah,
aye.
Me too. Right. So we get a nice little.
If you're sure to vote.
Okay. I'm coming to public comment. This is public comment on any item at all, any issue. I'm going to open the floor at
8 o'clock.
Eight p.m. Raise your hand. Michael?
Okay. I just wanted to ask if you could give us any updates on the status of the cannabis proposal.
I know there's all this talk in town. Right now, we're discussing it. That's all we're doing. It's we didn't schedule a discussion for this evening because we had the flood plan and we had some other issues or, you know, some other agenda items. But, it's in the discussion stage. There's a lot to explore, and so we're not rushing. We're taking our time and exploring all the possibilities and the positives, the negatives, the advantages, the disadvantages, and also specific details. So not really an update. We're just in the exploration stage. Does that satisfy your answer?
Yeah, just wanted to know what was going on.
Yeah, just, you know, we're looking into everything.
Right, it's just weird. Since there had been so much push at the last meeting, there was sense of urgency about getting this done, and then this is ground to a halt.
Yeah, I think possibly there was the thinking that maybe they could begin a growing season already if it was pushed through quickly, but that's just not going to happen. We need to take more time to discuss it, and there's lots of, you know, that we have to change the ordinance. You know, we have to...
If you choose to,
we would have to change the ordinance, and then, you know, farmers all have to get licensed. So there's a lot of steps. If we decided to approve it, there's a lot of steps to take. And even if we decide not to approve it, we still have to have, you know, discussions about it. So to point out why we wouldn't want it. But
our duty is to, if we decide on it, we have to change ours is just to change the ordinance.
Right.
After that, it falls into their hands to do the job.
Right, the farmers, yeah.
Yeah. We're not getting involved in that.
No, the borough's only responsibility, if we decided that we wanted it here, our only responsibility is to change the ordinance.
That's it.
And after that, it's out of our hands completely.
That's right. It's theirs to do. And then they have to deal with the state with the regulations, and that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Mike? Mary? Oh, I think there's two Marys on. So, Mary, tell us.
And you're muted, Mary.
You're muted, Mary.
Okay, sorry. Mary Kellis, 21 Lake Drive. Well, just to follow along with Michael's question, there was the announcement of a public meeting about the cannabis, and then that was postponed. I just wondered, are you still planning on having a public meeting? Do you have any idea when it might take place?
Well, we'll have to see. We're not rushing this through. And also, there are public hearings. If we introduce an ordinance, there's two public hearings. So that's a chance also for everyone to discuss, question, comment on, rather than a separate meeting. We do have two public hearings that where everyone is not just welcome, but encouraged to give their input. But, we're not, especially that it couldn't happen this, a growing season couldn't happen this year anyway, even if we wanted it. So we're still gathering all the information we need.
Well, when would we know whether the Environmental Commission could be a part of the evaluation? Because I think we have concerns about impervious coverage if there are very many enclosed greenhouses and things like that. So when would you be deciding whether we would be able to participate?
I'd like to respond to that, if I could, from the council end of things. I think the council might want to consider having and forming a committee to organize the and get input and also exchange information about a cannabis cultivation application from the borough for a license and, you know, what it might entail. I still think there's a lot of information that we need to get and distribute and also receive. And I think there's a lot of really interested parties and stakeholders here who need to be involved in this. So I'd like to see us, if we could, take some time. And I'd like to see the council appoint a committee to discuss and allow for input.
I just want to say, Mike, that we don't get a license at all. We would only...
Can I just explain the process? Seems like this seems a topic, Mayor. Can I just explain the process? Really? All right, so it's pretty simple. The municipal regulation is limited to a tax if you allow it, and zoning. So what? And there's six classes of cannabis license. So you have retail store, you have delivery services, you have cultivation, manufacturing, and distribution. And you basically decide which of those you want in your zoning ordinance, if any at all. At the present time, Roosevelt's zoning ordinance does not allow any of those uses anywhere in the town. And so if we were to allow it, then that would potentially allow a business to apply both to the state first for a license. And in order to do that, they would need a resolution of support from the municipality. So let's say that the borough first passed an ordinance to allow cannabis, some type of cannabis business somewhere in town. Then the next step before there's anything going on in town at all is the licensee applying for a license in Roosevelt, similar to the liquor license I described before, to the Cannabis Regulatory Commission. And the municipality, the governing body here, would have to provide them with various indicia of support, meaning that it doesn't violate the zoning ordinance, and we'd have to fill out paperwork that went with them with that license. Okay. Then after that, they would come back to the municipality here, and if we had put that ordinance in place at the beginning that both allows it under the zoning and then licenses it here, that type of business, they would have to apply on a municipal level for the license. So they have, there we go, we have the rubric, then we have a state license, like a liquor distributor, and then we have the actual zoning and municipal application, which would have to comply with all the standards of the ordinance you put back at the beginning. And then there would be obviously hearings and stuff on that. So in the first instance, I'm Councilman Hamilton, I don't mean to jump over you, but that committee should really focus on the potential land uses and what that should look like in the town under the zoning ordinance. Cause that's the first step. And then after that, you know, we would we would get down into the more licensed applicant sort of situation. But in terms of like a policy level, the Environmental Commission could, just like they consult on a zoning application, if you're going to redo the impervious coverage in the business district, that would be the lens through which we'd be looking at it at the outset in terms of what we're going to do as a municipal project in the first instance, if the governing body decides that they want to change the current ordinance.
Thanks, Greg. That really clarifies things a lot. So I think the council understand all of
Michael, may I?
How this process works, and you explained it very, very, very well. But I would like to just support the idea that we would have some form of committee and some way of receiving and providing any information to members of from the different stakeholders that might be involved and might have concerns or
if I could make a recommendation to you, I'm a councilman in my hometown and we only allow certain uses in Aberdeen and others we decided were not for us. And so we did that we had a committee and we went to, at that time it was only medical operating in the state. So we were able to go to some of those places and see what it was all about. I would recommend your committee go visit. I mean, the dispensaries are open. There's distribution places. There's delivery services. You can go on the Canada's Regulatory Commission's website, and the people that advocate this business are more than welcoming to have you go and visit and continue to kick you in the back and show you how they do it. You know, obviously you have to make an appointment,
Greg,
but
Greg, if I may.
So we could have a field trip.
I think that's the best way to understand what it's really about. Cause these facilities are easy to say, oh, it's this, it's that. But like until you go there and see it, it's really hard to.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist till now.
Mike and I had discussed that like a few meetings back, like possibly taking field trips and seeing exactly what we're talking about.
Before we go on, I'm in favor of a committee. However, we're not a huge township or a city or anything else or a state. We're just a very small town with limited possibilities. And the gentleman that came to make the presentation is aiming at growing. Let me just finish, please. At growing, and we as a council, I understood. That's what I had the feeling. That we as a council were very amenable to a growing situation. And I think one of us asked him, where would you put it in the three farms that you're talking about? He said it would be in the back of the farm and some of it would not even be seen from the street. And then described
my cat's hungry, sorry.
Pardon me?
Well, just because it's not seen doesn't mean it doesn't have an environmental impact.
He described what it might look like because it's going to be an open area, not Quonset hut, not one of these Quonset hut kind of things. And he also said there'd be a lot of security, and we got a lot of very good answers from him. And I presume that if we go along with this, that's exactly what it's going to look like. So our work may be all legal stuff that we have to do. I don't think we have to concern ourselves so much with how he does it, how he puts it together. But because we have to oversee it, of course. But by the same token, if he's honorable, and there's no reason to think he isn't, we have a good basis to go on. Am I correct, Mayor?
Yes, I think Mary's just concerned about the environmental impact.
Okay, that's
not so much our role in how it's all.
That would fold in with the Environmental Commission.
Well,
and the group from the council. Going to him and asking what he's going to do with it.
Well, I'm concerned about the environmental impact too, because he mentioned the possibility of a total of 300 hoop houses on the farmland, there, which is a lot of impervious coverage if you look at it. But there's a lot of things that have been loosely proposed, but these are the kind of issues that I think we do need to be concerned about.
That was his number though, Mike. We have control over whatever goes up. In other words, we can limit the number of hoop houses.
It's all under our zoning, and it's all under our control.
So that's why we would like to have input on it and provide input on what would be a reasonable amount if we decide to do that based on environmental impact, that kind of thing.
I would like to be on the committee, should there be a committee. Okay, I will volunteer for that.
What do you think is a good number? Maybe.
No, you can't.
Five? Like, in other words, have a couple council members, environmental commission members,
planning board.
Yeah, I think we need to take our time and identify the stakeholders and everybody who might be impacted and might be able to provide input to the committee. And then we'll figure out a number, and it could be a council committee. And the council has a statutory ability to have any, to appoint any committee to investigate any activity, within the borough. So we have statutory rights to that fact. But I think we ought to take our time, make sure we have good representation. I've known of other committees in the past that really weren't, configured properly to provide good input. And I'd like to make sure that whatever.
We need a balanced committee.
Yeah, so I think we ought to take a little bit of time and think about that.
You might like from the Environmental Commission, who we might like from the Council, Planning Board, and we can put that together.
We should have a representative from the state who would be enforcing all of this stuff, so we would have a direct contact with someone. State who was the enforcer of all of these regulations to advise us. I think that would be a good idea.
Is that feasible, Greg, to have a state representative on the committee?
Can't appoint a state representative.
I think so.
We can't appoint a state representative.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, I mean, there's I'm sure there's people in town with an expertise in cannabis you could certainly appoint. I mean, also, I should note that the Cannabis Regulatory Commission has excellent explanations of even better than I just did in terms of the how this works overall, what this stuff looks like. You know, there's a lot of educational materials on it. It's the New Jersey CRC, and you know, there's really not much you can't find there.
I had a couple other little quick things that I was going to ask. Can I do that?
Sure.
Well, I'm glad you renewed the contract with the Sutton Memorial. I think they do a wonderful job, and they're very compassionate there. But I have noticed there's a couple graves, Clara Levinson and her husband, and they are up at the very top. There's kind of an area where artists are right at the woods, and there are their markers are overgrown now with trees kind of hanging down. So if you have a way of communicating.
Well, that wouldn't be our landscapers. That would not
okay.
be. Yeah, that wouldn't
that
be.
Wouldn't, they don't do that. That okay. Could you communicate that with them, our landscaper then?
Yeah. I'll tell you afterwards. It's, you want me to tell you now? Clara, C-L-A-R-A, and George Levinson, Levinson. Okay. Yeah, we'll have the landscapers take care of that.
Okay. And the other quick thing is also an environmental thing. I'm glad to hear that we could maybe have the deli opening again and that kind of thing. But I guess you're saying that an application for reopening there would require a planning board meeting.
Granting a variance from the planning board.
Go ahead, Mary. Well, it needs to be remembered and pointed out that the Empty Box Brook over there is a Category 1 waterway, and there are restrictions on impervious coverage and other kind of things within can't remember, 100 feet or something of the waterway. So no more expansion of the, that parking lot can't be expanded. It should be paved. Yeah.
So, well, first of all, Michelle Donato, our planning board attorney, is well aware. She knows Roosevelt well. She knows. She's aware of all the prohibitions. But also, I don't believe that they are increasing the size at all. From what I understand, they only just want to
put it. Okay, and no pipe paving of it either, really. So,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What?
It shouldn't be paved. Right now, I would call it pervious. There's very small stones there and the water can go through. So no more paving over there.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they were going to do anything except open the doors and start cooking. From what
but again, it's a planning board application and the public will be able to attend.
Okay, great. Who on the council is the representative to the planning board?
Mike.
Okay.
So, you know, so far.
Michael Tichton or Michael Hamilton?
Sorry. Bob. No, wait, but I'm sorry. Mike is the mayor's alternate. Bob Atwood is the council rep.
Okay.
And so far, no application has been made. It's only been same as the cannabis. It's just being discussed. So they have not made an application to the planning board yet.
Okay, thank you.
Could anyone else who hasn't
we got
spoken?
These two up here.
Okay, Katarina, would you like to speak?
Yes, can I jump in before my...
Sure.
We are about half an hour past the time. But as a mom of two small children, I wanted to address a few issues we are having on a farm lane, which has speed lane.
Can you just tell us your full name and address?
Yes, Katarina Stupakova, 26 Farm Lane.
26 Farm Lane?
Okay. 26, yes, 26.
Okay,
so we have two major issues, but I don't know which one is more deadly than the other. One is definitely speeding, which becoming speedway, not the farm lane anymore. And we literally have 9 kids on 1 speed bump, which is almost non-existent. And you could see these cars flying up and down. So that's one of the issues. But more important issue is the loose dogs, which we had just, I'm sorry about the baby, but he's past time. We had a major incident today where one of the residents from farm.
I don't want to interrupt you, but we are aware of it and we are taking care of it. It's an ongoing issue. You probably know, I'm not sure how long you've lived here, but I'm sure you know this has been an ongoing issue for a long time. What happens is it sort of is taken out of our hands. We turn it over to animal control and the owner goes to...
You know what, today, can I speak for a second, please?
Sure.
Today, I took it into my own hands and I called 911. I was not calling Bob anymore or animal control. The reason why I'm here late, crying baby, this is how I have him, the rake to fight off the dog. I use a massive rake to beat the dog who attacked my animal in my backyard. So I appreciate when you say that you are taking care of it, but this has been going on for a long time. I don't know if it's going to take child has to die, senior has to die, or adult has to die before somebody really does something about it. And today, I was in my backyard when 2 dogs came and attacked my child and attacked my animals. And I was so thankful that my neighbors came to help because I really didn't know what to do.
I'm very, very sorry that happened. They've also frightened me personally in my driveway. I have to tell you that they were taken away last year, and we were certain that they would be put down. And when they were returned to the owners, we were shocked. We did not expect that. We were shocked. But we don't have a lot of control, or lack of a better word, power in that area. It goes to the animal control, and then it goes to court. And last year, the court took the dogs away, quarantined them, and as I said, we were certain that they would be put down, and we were as shocked as anyone when they were released back to the owners. So now, today, we contacted the police again, and we told them that we want this in court, and we want the strictest penalties.
Hey, Sorry. I have to make it quick because my other child is screaming in the house tired. When he said you contacted the police, I called 911 today. Police arrived, fire department, ambulance, everybody, and their mother came. And police checked the record. Police has no information about Kevin and issue with the dogs. Not one. Nothing. And they checked the records. Kevin, we all know, has other issues, but nothing with the dogs. I will not be talking about his personal life because that's none of my business. But there is not a single report from anyone in Roosevelt to police regarding the dogs. Police came back with the animal control and removed the dogs themselves. So I really hope they will not be back. And there's another couple in town. We know they get loose. They are not friendly to people. They might be biggest mush and lab dogs at home. But we have 9 children just in those 4 houses around me.
Yeah, we know. We know. I'm
to walk the child outside. I was a great dog of my goat today. We have 2 pet goats in my backyard who don't get loose on the streets. Yeah. We take with the big crap.
You know, I'm surprised.
You know, it's like,
I'm so sorry. I don't even know how to express to you how sorry. It happened to me last summer. We've all been victims of those. Most of us have been victims of those dogs. And as I said, once it goes to court, it's out of our hands. So today we again told animal control officer to tell the court and tell the judge that we want the strict, we want the dogs to be put down. We want the strictest penalties that are possible.
Yeah.
But once it's out of our hands, once it's cited.
We would also like to jump in here if we can.
Well, wait, Rick, hold on just a second. It's really one at a time. Yes. So do you have anything else, Katerina?
No, I would really like Hope and Rick Pressler to speak because
I
don't know what I would do with them. I am so thankful to have my neighbors, and Hope was amazing assistance in my backyard with my child, with my animals, with my baby, and everybody. We have to do something. They're dogs. Like, they're killing animals. They're killing other people's pets. I lost a chicken. My neighbor's dog killed. They killed a deer on the street. They killed a 20-year-old cat. People have killed
20 years. We were astonished that they were returned to the owner. We really were.
No, I'm surprised that they
love animals.
Well, I'm going to turn the floor over to Rick and Hope, okay? Is that all right, Katerina?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, go ahead, Rick.
Great, thank you very much. So, yes, we were also attacked by the dogs today, as was our dog. But to sort of cut to the chase here, we're urging the council to consider other options for animal control. After dozens of phone calls and many, many incidents and close observation of the process, we've concluded it's not effective. There are other options.
I agree.
There are other options in other towns. The SPCA, Tinton Falls has an organization which provides services to other towns. And so I guess for us, the bottom line is let's get something that will be more effective and more responsive. As it currently stands, we are not getting the service that we need to keep the neighborhood safe. This is not a complicated problem. I understand the courts have a role in making ultimate decisions about these things, but we're finding that the current services are completely ineffective. We've probably had more than 24 calls to animal control over the last couple of years, and yet we still find ourselves having to call the state police to finally get an adequate response. We should not have to call the police to remove a couple of errant dogs. And so I'm urging the council, who, by the way, I want to thank for all of your wonderful service to the town. I appreciate it deeply, the mayor and the council. We're urging you to consider other options. There may be some expense, but what is currently in place, which has been in place, not effective. Thank you.
I told everyone last summer, at that point, I was here almost 47 years, and it was the first time in 47 years that I was really terrified in my driveway because it was late at night, and they came charging at me, and I was sure.
Who has the dogs now? They've been picked up?
Today, they were taken away by the police.
Yeah.
Okay, where are they being held?
Popcorn Zoo refused them. That's who used to...
No, who has the dogs now?
I don't know. The police took them somewhere because when the animal control tried to bring them to Popcorn Zoo...
Let's find out where the dogs are... And make sure that they stay there and they're removed from
the neighborhood.
This is not
be adopted somewhere else.
Can I speak, please?
Yes.
Yeah. So when I spoke to the police officer today, I was listening to the conversation between our current animal control officer and the police, and the police were clearly very confused by his lack of ability to remove dogs. And he said everywhere else in Monmouth County, almost everywhere else uses the SPCA, and they have a much more, a larger ability to be able to take dogs to different places. Right now, apparently only animals can go to Popcorn Park Zoo from Roosevelt. That's the only option. So at that point, yeah, the officer, animal control officer is like, they don't take them. I don't know what to do. If we had a contract with the SPCA, there would be a lot more options
and a lot
to be taken.
Greg, can you weigh in on this? Can we contract in the middle of the year to the SPCA, or do you know much about how we can handle this?
Who use the Humane Society right now?
No. In Roosevelt, we just have one man that we've used for many years.
Oh, okay. That's the biggest issue right now, because when Helmeta's animal shelter was closed down, and then a couple of them have closed down since then, there's very few places to take the animals. And what the resident said is accurate, that the SPCA has by far the most vast resources to do that in the towns that I work in. The SPCA, actually Red Bank just switched to them recently. My town of Aberdeen switched to them from the Humane Society. They have a lot of ability to get rid of, that's not the word, to place animals that can't be around other animals or people. Basically the placement is the issue, because until the dog bites a person and breaks the skin and leaves permanent injuries is the standard, which can mean scarring functionally if the dog bites a person. But I haven't heard anyone say that the dog's bit a person yet, which is always a good thing, but always a bad thing if you're trying to get rid of the dogs. The dogs are destroyed if they bite a person. The court can order that. The court can't order them to destroy the dogs. Unless they kill someone else's animal. I have to look up the statute. But long story short, it's very difficult to just destroy a dog. The placement is the key, and what the resident is saying about the SPCA having the greatest resources is accurate.
Does it have to take dead child or injured child for someone to do something?
Because that's what the statute says in the state of New Jersey. Everyone loves.
I don't mean to kill the dog, destroy the dog, but to take the dog away from irresponsible owner.
That's exactly right.
So ma'am, I'll just explain to you. So the law in New Jersey protects the dog as that person's private property. I understand how you view it. It's very frustrating to me. I actually serve as prosecutor in the borough of Keyport, where I've had to go through this process. It took me 4 court hearings to destroy a dog that had bitten 2 people.
Yes.
And so that's the way the laws are written. The best thing that can be done is that what the prior resident noted was that placing the dog is far easier, and then refusing to allow it back or taking it, forfeiting the dog, is far easier than destroying it. I just put it that way. And the last resident said is very accurate. And
I don't
mean
to destroy the dog. If the dog comes again to my backyard and I'm going to kill it, what is going to happen to me? I'm sure there will be charges pressed against me because of my children. And I simply believe owner will call the police on me and I'll get arrested, pay fine, or who knows what's going to happen to me if I kill somebody's dog. I have an infant, as you can see. I have a 4-year-old who plays outside, and I'm afraid to let my child out because we have...
Ma'am, that's the flip side of that law. Killing the dog is no worse than smashing someone's car with a baseball bat in terms of, the civil issues that you would arise. I mean, that's the flip side of the issue. So I'm not telling you to kill the dog, but you have to do what you have to do to protect your property and your that baby that you have. So you do what you have, you do whatever you have to do, and no one here is going to give you a hard time. But you have to do.
The dogs have special licenses right now because they've been identified as dangerous animals.
Potentially dangerous.
Well, they've been identified as potentially dangerous animals. Does that give us any additional clout or right to have them and keep them permanently removed from the owner?
Because
it's not in control of them.
It means that they must have very fencing that adheres to specific standards to to keep them in their fenced-in area.
And obviously the owner does not have that because the dogs go under neighbors' fences, end up on their porch, end up roaming the neighborhood. So
Mr. Hamilton, the owner is an irresponsible slob.
Yes, and you know, we are fairly new resident compared to some of you. But this is our third summer here in the big yard, and I find it that I'm afraid to be outside here more than when I was living somewhere else. We moved here for the nature, safety, security, nice neighborhood, and I have dogs on either side of me that I cannot let my child playing alone in the big yard. And I'm not saying to kick my child out alone, but I'm in a kitchen cooking 10 feet from my child, and I cannot do that. Because on either side of my house, it's a dog that will attack my child. One set of dog was removed today. One is still here. And the other set of dog killed my chicken last year. So I cannot, it's ridiculous that we don't have some sort of protection against animals who have, who keep getting out and who keep getting attacked. If the owner cannot let the dog stay in his backyard and it happens 5 times in a matter of 3 months, there must be some sort of way to either remove the dog or remove the dog. There is no other way. If the dog keeps getting loose back to back to back, and no matter how many times the owner goes to the court and pays the fines, the dog still keeps getting loose. Does it have to take a dead senior on the street? The dog have to attack a senior for somebody to do something? And I know there is a law set in place and people's hands are tied because we cannot go over the law. It's very hard to change the law. I totally understand that. But we have to make a change in this before child or senior or somebody dies on the street.
Greg, can we contact SPCA or right now, I guess, you know, in the middle of the...
I'd have to review the contracts for that, and we'd have to check that out. But on the flip side, the most important thing that the residents that are on the call can do right now, I presume that, forgive me, Katarina, is of the victim on a police report at this point, and they like the owner has due process. That's the issue that we're running into here, and so it's very important that you guys go to the hearings and tell your story or tell the prosecutor what's going on. I'm sure the mayor will give the prosecutor a call and advise them of the case. Now we've heard the complaints here, but it's very important if you get court notices that you correspond with the court or call them and tell them, like, say, I can't make it, because if the victims don't come, then there's no evidence. You know, what you just told us is evidence in court to keep the dogs out of here.
The dogs were out.
Let's
let the officers speak because they have a stake in this and they haven't spoken yet. So,
yeah. Teresa. Okay. Thank you. Teresa Aukus, 37 Farm Lane. We're right on the corner. And our backyard has been the yard that the dogs jump over the fence. The biggest dog can jump over the fence. Anyway, we've been dealing with this for a very long time. And 1 year ago, we were actually at the court hearing after his dogs had attacked the cat and killed the cat. We were called to testify, how it transpired, because they used our yard to get out into the world. And my heart just started racing. I'm so sorry that this happened to you guys today. Yesterday, we were sitting at our dining room table, and I looked out. This is about 1:30. On our deck, which is on the second story, was the big dog. And so it wasn't growling at us yet. It was just kind of pacing. And so we were like, what do we do? Cause we've called animal control before and he has said there's nothing we can do because Roosevelt does not have an agreement with Popcorn Park. Okay. So we were at our wit's end. And, so Mark, my husband, went down and around and up the steps in the backyard, and we corralled the dog on our deck. And so we were both, you know, removed from it, but it was just pacing and pacing. We called the animal control again. We said, you need to come and get this dog off of our property. He did. He as someone had stated, he had a, like a lasso type thing. He never did catch the dog, but he called over to the neighbor who owns the dog and asked if you called for the dog, will he come? Yes. So the neighbor ended up ripping a hole in his fence so that the dog could then go through. And we've had issues with the fencing deal too. The code, the property code, that Jeremy's been following up on. Anyway, so the dog ended up going right back to the owner yesterday.
Yeah, because animal control said he has nowhere to take the dog. And he called Popcorn Park. They wouldn't take him. Well, the dog was caught. This wouldn't even, whatever happened today wouldn't have happened because we already did our duty and caught the damn thing. And there is a court order, and it clearly, and it was, the court order was contested by the person at 37 Farm Lane.
35.
35 Farm Lane. He lost. The court order specifies specifically the signage, the kind of fencing that should be up, all the specific things that should be done.
Like a
none of it's been done.
The only thing
nobody's doing anything to make him comply. There's no follow up. Where do we get the follow up to enforce the ruling from the court that's already there?
It's so specific. The dog. And they have been verified, or the judge did call them vicious, and he needed to have a sign on his, on the outdoor gate saying, beware vicious dogs, but he's got a
stolen street sign that he has up against the fence with some scribbling on it that beware
says dangerous dog or something.
I mean, come on.
The only way he complied was that he did get the licenses for potentially dangerous dogs, as the only compliance that he showed, like they do have the proper licenses, the dogs.
So
no, but there's like probably five to 10 other details.
Right.
If the dog is off out of this kennel, which includes a bottom, sides and top, because that dog can jump a 6-foot fence. And I think we talked about this with the council in last fall. But that has never been checked on. That has never been followed up on. Who does the coding? Who checks on things like that?
And it's always, we'll give him 30 more days. He gets 30 more days. He gets 30 more days. I mean, give me a break. Is the prosecutor doing their job? What's the judge doing? You know?
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm wondering if this whole issue is that we have to have a different animal control. Clearly, the animal control person who is working for us right now is not doing a good job. So I think we need to find a way to immediately have someone else.
Yeah, that's why I just asked our attorney, Greg Cannon, if can we, in the middle of the year, sign with the Humane Society or the SPCA? And you said, Greg, you have to check it tomorrow. Check the.
I don't know the answer to that question at this exact moment. But I mean, you can certainly get a service. There's a court order. So the judge, you know, the issue in court went as good as it could, potentially dangerous is one step below destroying the dog. So, you know, it seems like it went as well as it could go in court. It seems the residents are identifying an enforcement issue. So what I would recommend is that tomorrow, I had this problem as an Aberdeen councilman with, it was cats, instead of dogs. We call County Commissioner Lisitra, Ross Lisitra, who used to run the SPCA, and he is extremely responsive, and he brought people in that could help us, and they helped us to everyone's satisfaction. You know, I think the residents have identified an enforcement issue. There's a court order already. The legal processes are going as best they can. It seems like an enforcement issue, Mayor.
Yeah.
I agree. It is an enforcement issue. We need somebody who can act and keep these animals away. And I'm really This is horrible what you guys are going through, and everybody in the neighborhood. It's been ongoing, and we have our hands tied as public officials, but we need to get an agency that can act and can remove those animals. It looks like the SPCA is probably our best bet at this point, from what I understand, and I have been involved with animal issues before, and I think we need to take direct action, and it needs to be immediate. You can't wait on this. We're just waiting for something to happen.
Something tragic.
Yeah, and also, you know, there are other issues regarding, you know, the 4th of July is coming up too, and that could be a horror story for these neighbors as well, and it's emanating from the same place. And that's another code, that's another enforcement issue. We need somebody there for the 4th of July too. We need enforcement to be present sometimes and to have direct action to do this.
Mark and Teresa, do you intend to stay home again this July 4th?
Well, I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Only because I'm going to encourage you to videotape.
Well, we have videotape. The courts don't like videotape of fireworks. That needs to be caught red-handed. So last year, when the patrol person showed up, he didn't really do his job. All he had to do was say, do you have a permit for this? And if he didn't have a permit for it, he's in violation of the ordinance.
And he needs to be
here. It just goes. It just follows through.
I know.
But that's, I'm wondering from you, you said you were going to have conversations with the patrol and get them to understand where they are so they can't, because they're going to wiggle out by saying, we don't know what your ordinances are. That's what the trooper will say.
We cannot
have that. If they're contracted to serve us, they need to know what to do.
Listen,
as far as the fireworks, I did speak to the state police lieutenant, and he was very clear about that the police cannot issue any kind of arrest, citation, anything, unless they see it happen. Unless they're actually...
He watched
the grand finale last summer.
He was here. I mean...
We were in the street with other neighbors, and he pulled up. He went back to talk to them and said, cool it down. And he got in his car, and the car was still there when the grand finale started.
He
needs to have a permit according to Roosevelt ordinance. I have 2 gallon bags full of the remnants.
I know.
From my backyard. I can't go in my backyard due to wild dogs, and I can't go in my backyard on the 4th of July because I'll get hit by shrapnel.
Can we read Max a copy of our ordinance to the state police and tell them we expect that to be enforced? And here's a copy, again, by the way, of our ordinance, and it specifically says you need a permit. We expect them to do their job if they show up. And he doesn't have a permit. He needs to be fined and taken to court for that as well.
Well, look, let me tell you something. This guy repairs cars for some people, and I'm sure he gets paid for it, till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night on his driveway.
There's a 30-foot boat in the yard now being fixed up.
I live across the street from him, and we can leave our windows open in the evening at night so we can get some fresh air into the house.
Well,
and let me tell you something, the knocking and the banging that goes on till 11 o'clock at night, and he has one of these big heavy spotlights. You must have seen him. He's got a big square light on his driveway.
Yeah, and then there's one in the backyard that shines in our bedroom.
I have to tell you that I'm concerned that some angry resident will take the law into their own hands and provide their own solution to this and other issues as far as the dogs are concerned and as far as him not caring about anybody else. And I'm really concerned about that. So I think we need to act because of that, too. I don't want to see.
We have an ordinance against the starting a business on your driveway.
What the hell good is it unless we enforce it? We don't enforce it.
Yeah. Okay. Problem. I know, wait a minute. Let me finish.
I know. Enforce it. The code enforcement officer is there weekly, and he gets sent to court all the time.
Yep.
And somehow
and he continues to do it.
Absolutely.
And he continues to. I know that.
We issue citation after citation after citation, and he goes to court, and somehow nothing changes.
And he 30 just more.
Gets a reprieve, it seems, every time he goes to court. But it is being enforced on our end. The code enforcement officer is there weekly, and with all these court dates and citations, and somehow he goes to court and continually receives reprieves.
So he tells us he doesn't have the money to, you know, pay these fees. So at what point, maybe this is a question for the attorney, is at what point, you know, if you're not getting any results that way, at what point do they arrest him?
Well,
I think he's been arrested.
Well,
I don't know how much
time. Can I ask a question about that as well? I mean, again, this, it seems like the same with animal control, that there's an enforcement issue. So yeah. Who is this code enforcement person, and do we have to use this particular one, or can the town choose a different one?
We have a code enforcement officer. We contract to him to provide code enforcement.
But if he's not enforcing it, I mean, is there someone else that we could choose?
But he is enforcing it. That and is. Then it gets to the court, and somehow, listen, I'm going to tell you something personal. I have a court date with him as well. He stole something from me. The police were called. There was the proof. It was in his garage, completely dismantled in his garage. And I fully expected him to be arrested. Well, he was arrested, but it's not a violent crime. So he wasn't taken to jail. He got a court date. So then I guess this is public knowledge. Greg stopped me at the time.
Yeah, I don't know if it
but
is.
But it was so. Anyway.
This is all public. This is all in a public complaint, Mayor.
Okay, that's okay. What I thought. Okay, so it was supposed to be remanded to Superior Court. I think because, and I may be wrong because I'm not a legal scholar like Greg is, but I think the judge in Millstone got just sick of him being like everything that happens with him. So it was remanded to Superior Court. Well, then Superior Court said, no, we're not interested in dealing with this. It was remanded back down to Millstone Court.
Municipal
Court. However, so I get the notice because I'm the victim, but the counsel and I appoint the judge and the prosecutor every year. So there's a conflict of interest. So now I had to, you know, when I made them aware of that, now I'm waiting for the reschedule again. Because they have to bring in a neutral, or you know, someone that I haven't appointed, judge and prosecutor. So it's the same thing. I've been with the police, I can't tell you how many times since April. And I thought for sure I'd be arrested because there's my piano in his driveway. And he wasn't arrested. He was just like, it's an arrest, but you don't get taken. He was arrested, but you're not taken to jail. Or prison, whatever. And then, and this has been going on since April. And every time I turn around, it's postponed, rescheduled.
He knows how to drag it out.
Well, how to use the system too, and how to. So, I would say that we need to wrap this up. We need to right now some concrete steps that we're going to take. So, first of all, we'll contact the state police tomorrow and fax them a copy of our ordinance, and you know, so that they're aware for July 4th, you know, that this is most likely going to happen. It's hard for me to believe that they would have the nerve to do that again, but I'm sure it will. And then, Greg will look for us tomorrow about as soon as possible, contracting to Monmouth County SPCA. Yep. So that we can, because it's unacceptable. They scare, this is just me, I'm one person. I know how many of us have experienced all the way up Eleanor Lane. I mean, but they scared me to death last summer. I really thought they were going, I was going to die in my driveway.
We need somebody who has the right and the ability and actually remove those dogs. There's no other way to go about it. They've shown that, you know, and the owner's shown that he can't control them. They can't control themselves. We have a real problem here. They need to be removed ASAP.
Greg,
we need to have an agency that can do it. We can't, obviously I can't do it. Peggy, you can't go over there and do it, but we need to act as our job to protect safety, the safety of all of our residents. If we can't do that, what the hell are we here for? We need to get action on that, and let's see if we can get the SPCA to come and.
Well, Greg's going to look at research it tomorrow, right, Greg?
If Kathleen, if you just send me the resolution approving that animal control contract, and then Mayor, I can touch base with you tomorrow. I have Commissioner Lasitra's phone number, and we can get started.
Good. So that's approaching it from the court end with him, and maybe we can make sure that the court has some. Let's put it that way, to actually do their job and make sure code enforcement is actually acting and doing their job, and the state police and now the SPCA. We need to get action on it right away. And
we have a plan. Mayor, just real quick, can I just say something real quick?
Sure.
So with respect to the court, the mayor will call the prosecutor and advise him of the importance of the public importance of the case that's pending in the court. No one's going to call the judge or the court staff or anyone who is the third party adjudicator of this. The mayor will call the prosecutor. The prosecutor represents us as the state and the residents. And then everything else you said, we're going to be on the enforcement. But I just wanted to make sure that no one got the impression we're calling the judge or anything like that.
No, we can't do that. And Peggy knows that well, I think. So, we won't do it.
We were shocked when the dogs came back. We were shocked.
Everybody
dogs were returned.
That's absolutely true. Everybody that expected that the dogs would never be back again.
Yeah.
Hopefully they will be adopted. You know, and the next.
Well, they need to be separated.
Less than a week later, the dogs were running around again.
Yeah. Also, as a little aside, I think you have a second set of vicious dogs on your street. But from
yes, we do. They actually even killed a deer.
Right. So from what I understand, that family is moving.
No, I think they've taken their house off the market and decided not to move.
Oh, God, really?
Yes.
All right. So, well, you know what? This will be bundled in with the other dogs.
It's all enforcement. We need to.
Yes.
Speaking of enforcement on the fireworks side, can we get in touch with the Monmouth County Fire Marshal?
I have talked to them. They cannot assign a policeman here on that day, a trooper here, because.
The fire marshal, not the troopers.
From what I understand, you know, 4th of July, they're out on the highways with drunk drivers and that type of thing. So, I mean, if there's an issue, they'll come, but they won't station anyone here.
Yeah, but not the fire marshal. He's not out.
Well, the fire marshal, he's not going to come and sit here either.
Well, what do we do then? Let my house burn down, I guess. I don't know.
I'll make a call to the fire marshals tomorrow. There should be something that they can do. It's within their privy. So.
Isn't it a criminal offense?
I don't know, but on the dogs, can we make a ordinance that if you have vicious dogs that you need to put up an invisible fence? And, you know, if nothing else works, can we have an ordinance?
An invisible fence works for 70% of dogs, that's all. I don't think that would stop them. They're fearless.
Not those dogs, that's right.
Yeah, they're fearless.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somehow the basic terms of the ruling last summer did not get enforced. I mean, beyond just the dogs returning, however that happened, I don't know how the fines got paid. They were very high fines.
I know.
And then there was where was the cage, right? Where was this? I mean, were there tickets being issued for non-compliance on a regular basis? I mean, I don't know, but I think the SPA solution
SPCA solution provides a very tractable way forward, because part of the enforcement issue is the dog, he has no place to bring the dog. So, and he can't bring it home. So, I mean, that would, that actually feels like something tangible that could work. The law
protects the dogs more than the victims, because way back in 2008, I was viciously attacked by a dog in Roosevelt. It wasn't a Roosevelt dog. It was the newspaper delivery person's dog that they brought with them. And it got loose, a pit bull, and I was viciously attacked. And that dog wasn't even quarantined. The owner had to pay a fine.
No, it should have been.
But, well, because they said that the dog's really, the dog lives in Trenton, and they didn't have any jurisdiction in Monmouth County to say that the dog had to be quarantined or put down. So the owner of the dog just went home with the dog. And
who's going to be our point person on this too? We can, I want to follow up on this right away and find out where we are tomorrow, the next day, and so on with enforcement here.
Well, Greg is researching the, our ordinance tomorrow.
So. Yeah, I know. Who's going to contact us? Can we, can council members be given up to date information where we are with this life threatening?
Well, Greg's going to research the ordinance. I'm going to call the prosecutor's office in Millstone. And we'll start the process.
I'll email you. I always copy you guys. I'll email you.
Okay. Good. Good. That's good.
And again, I'm so sorry. I think there's a large number of people in Roosevelt who've been impacted in so many different ways by this person.
It's very frustrating because it goes to the court. People follow the right procedures, like you guys did. And, you know, and then the court drops the ball on it and they don't follow through either. And we're trying to handle it in accordance with the law, which is our job. That's what we swore to do, to obey the laws of the state of New Jersey and the Constitution. And we're trying to do that. But, you know, this has to get handled, and the court has to do its job and have some teeth and actually act on it when it gets to the court to that point.
I was just saying that when I spoke with a police officer today and I discussed this very thing with him, he really seemed to believe that the SPCA, had they been our animal control person, this would have been dealt with entirely differently. So I think that this might be the way that our current animal control is dealing with it, so that when it goes to the court, it's not getting the kind of attention it needs. Whereas he believed that the police officer I spoke to believed that if we would use a different agency, that we would get a very different result.
Okay, we'll get right on that.
SPCA, first item.
He stole my piano. And so it's public information because it's in the court system. And I was there when they arrested him, and I've seen television shows. I expected him to be led away in handcuffs, and that's not at all how it
works. Where'd hide a piano?
He didn't try to hide it. Right in his garage with that door wide open and all the lights on it. So, you know, it's been an ongoing situation for many years with many different sides to it. Not sides as far as, but I mean, you know, dogs, fireworks, theft, or the gamut. But we will.
Listen, Mark, I'm really sorry you're going through that. Katrina, you and your family, it's our job to protect it too.
Yeah. We'll do anything we can.
We'll act on this.
Yep. You know, I hope so. Something will get done, because somebody will go down. Either it will be child or senior. We have a lot of people walking all day, every day. We have senior ladies walking with a stick and with a pepper spray because they're afraid to walk on the street. They're afraid to walk their dogs.
And this is a town of walkers. Traditionally, yes. People in Roosevelt walk, always have. Even before walking became like a preferred method of exercise, everyone walked here.
But we are stopping to walk because we are afraid of the dogs. And when I'm walking alone with my two kids on my street, which child do I protect? Which one slept better night before? Or which one? Do I pick one? Do I pick a favorite one? Because I cannot protect both. Because I'm constantly going to get attacked by two dogs.
I walk my dog at night, and I was considering buying a baseball bat now. They're back and they're on the loose.
I sit in my backyard with a baseball bat near me.
That's what I'm talking. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to weed my garden, but I don't weed my garden because that yesterday when this happened, I had been out on my yard and 8 minutes later, the dog was up on our deck. So it's
unacceptable. This is a peaceful, beautiful town that we all love being outside when the weather permits, and to have to control your entire lifestyle, it's just unacceptable.
Teresa.
And there's one more hole in the fence too.
Teresa.
Not surprised.
Teresa.
A piano probably made it, carrying it in.
Teresa, your luck. You have a baseball bat, you hit the dog, and the, you go to court because the dog.
Bring it. No.
Not self-defense, I assure you.
This is just something that shouldn't be happening. No, where we spend so much time talking about wild dogs and boats in their driveway and parking on their lawn.
Banging metal all
over. This has been years of ongoing problems here.
Years. How long do you live here? 20 years?
Yeah. We've been here 21 years.
2001.
And so from the beginning, right?
Well, I mean, I don't want to go into all that. I mean, because it gets into personalities and people.
Do you see my gray hair?
And it gets into too much personalities and people. And there's just really straightforward facts and straightforward laws and regulations. Just apply them.
But I guess there's gaps. Greg would know. There's gaps in the legal system that allow.
But here's, I think what, if we start now, let's try to think positively and where we're going to look ahead. Is to be the squeaky wheel. We decided this, you know, last year when all of this happened. We're like, we're not letting up. We're going to be the squeaky wheel. And yeah. I'm determined. I love Roosevelt, but I don't like it very much. Mm-hmm. When you gotta be in your house and worried. That you're either going to be yelled at.
I know that Anna has called the authorities.
Yeah, because Mark called Anna
over and over
on him, both for the dogs and his working on the driveway till 1 o'clock in the morning, several times. I mean, several times.
And I also spoke to the trooper at length. When the piano got stolen. And so I also told him about the fireworks and the dogs. And he's like, oh, yeah, we know who he is. We know him.
And I think Greg is going to work to press this issue on the county commissioner end of things, too. I think we need concerted effort on all of us. And, yeah, the squeaky wheel gets grease. Yeah. And maybe somebody will be fed up hearing from us and say, can't we just remove these dogs and then they'll be gone? That's my wish. That's my wish. And it's not going to happen by wishing. We need to follow through ASPCA, whatever. Anybody who actually has the clout and the enforcement to actually remove these dogs, they need to be brought there, and it needs to happen. End of.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak about a different topic? We really will be taking care of this. Even if it didn't affect anyone except one family, but it's pervasive at this point.
I'm so sorry.
Affecting the whole town. But if you don't know, those dogs get loose. They can be found anywhere around. They don't stay in the Alkus's house and backyard alone. They go everywhere.
They go, they've scared me.
They terrorize the town, I'll tell you right now.
And, you know, we can only speculate on how the dogs are treated, which in and of itself might be enough reason.
That could be.
Independent of anything else that's been mentioned tonight. That could be enough reason to remove the dogs for their own well-being.
Animal abuse.
I didn't say that, but I wouldn't, you know, that could be investigated too.
I heard the way he was yelling at him when the dog went back over.
Might check with our current animal control person to see what he thinks about all that or what's going on and what can be done. So, but anyway, that's just another subtopic. The problem with that, the solution, I think that'll get us somewhere.
The problem with that is that he has to see, the animal control guy has to see him doing it.
Well, that's why I say you should talk to him. You never know what you'll find out.
You know, our code enforcement people have spent many, many hours in court.
Yeah, he really has.
They just sit there in court and wait for their turn.
They could be a whole night.
So yeah, I think our code enforcement person has been very responsive to us yeah. Once we started bringing it up.
Right.
I think he's just run into barriers at the next level.
The court,
like
right.
The mayor was. Yeah.
The court levels where the barriers appear.
You know, you spend a whole night in court, and nothing gets done by the judge. The judge doesn't lower the boob on the guy. And then 2 weeks later, you spent another two nights. Yeah.
We need to lubricate the wheels of the machinery to make sure that they do their job.
Yes.
And you know, that's what my father would have said. Lubricate those goddamn wheels is what he would say and get the goddamn job done. Excuse me for cursing, but this has to get done.
Everyone wants to just breathe and live their lives, you know.
Peacefully.
Yeah.
All right, so, anyone else in public would care to speak?
I have no idea. Go on.
No? Okay, I'm going to close the public portion at 9:08 p.m. Counselor, do we have a need for a closed session?
Not this evening, Mayor.
Oh, good.
Although I do have a lot of work to do tomorrow anyway.
I just want to remind everyone that we do need volunteers for the July 4th picnic. So, council people, if you speak to, or you yourselves, or if you speak to your friends, try to get some people on board for July 4th. And our next meeting, July 4th, is the first Monday of the month. So, our next meeting is July 5th, that Tuesday, which I'm sorry we chose that date because Cranberry traditionally has the best fireworks in the state on that date, but. I didn't realize it when Kathleen and I set the schedule last January. So.
And don't drink a fourth on the fifth.
Yeah.
Fifth on the fourth. If you want to see the sixth.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
You do.
Okay. Second?
I'll second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
See you on the fifth. Have a wonderful holiday. Please try to come to the picnic. And we'll see you then.
Out at 9:10.
9:10.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.